We talked about firing. Now we're going to talk about hiring. Where to place ads, how to find talent, where to look for it, all of that information. Once you have swept your team clean and you need to build a new one, that's what we're going to talk about today.
Drop some knowledge bombs. Are you ready to go? Mm-hmm. All right, everybody, welcome back to the EJ. We are going to follow up last week's call because we probably know that you listened to our advice on cleaning house, getting rid of people that are sucking the mojo out of your business, that are keeping you from growing, that are capping your growth, that are making your damn life miserable.
And for that reason, now you don't have a staff because you fired everyone last week.
And we thought, shit, we better do one on hiring people. Like, what the hell are we looking for? We need a new staff. We need help. So today, in all seriousness, hopefully you did make some moves and at least had some hard conversations with the people. And sometimes that can lead to reigniting a fire and great people become great again. And we're hoping that's what played out. We know from several different people that we've spoken to that's not how it played out. And you knew that that person had to go and you cut ties and it's been better feeling and you can already feel the clouds have lifted. The sun is out again. But because of that, you still need some people coming in to help you. So let's talk today about how people not only hire people, that's obviously fairly easy, but what do you do to find this talent in whatever group you are, whether it's a six-figure person you're bringing in all the way down to a $15 an hour type person? Where is the best way to find these people? How do we find these people? And then what questions to ask to realize, is this person going to be the fit so I don't end up terminating them 3 short months from now? So first of all, welcome to Dr. Brandon Livingood.
Hello.
And Ms. Chelsea.
Hi.
I didn't properly introduce the talent, so I apologize for that. But so anyway, where are we finding these people? Chelsea, this is your world. I may just turn my mic off and let you ramble for 30 seconds.
Don't do that, please. Everybody likes to hear you speak more.
Yeah, I've heard different, but
yeah, I honestly think the answer is all of the places, all of the things, all of the people, because you want to, and I know this is going to vary depending on the position you're looking for, but we find people through so many different resources, whether it's Facebook, chiropractic Facebook groups, whether it's Indeed, headhunters. You know, we tap into student clubs, into colleges, into so many different
types. Word of mouth from our docs.
Referrals,
yeah, referrals are great. But honestly, I think you have to open it up that much, especially when you're a growing company like we are, because you don't want to limit yourself. I mean, if you just advertise on Indeed, you're going to get the people who are on Indeed and that's great, but you're going to be cutting so many people out of the picture that might be the person you're looking for. So posting ads on Facebook and boosting them into targeted areas. Like for what I do is I post ads on Facebook and boost them to all of the chiropractic schools or areas where there are chiropractic schools so that because I know a lot of chiropractors are probably in those regions still.
Well, let's even start with Indeed, just because you said that. So that's a common place, but I think you can even screw that up, or I've seen it, where your ad that you have is terrible. It's cliche. It doesn't sound interesting. There's no carrots to excite people about taking this position long term. Uh-huh. So even that, I think something to start with about what are you writing on your Indeed ad? Does it sound like a position where people would be like, wow, that sounds incredible and cool. I want to check that out. And then maybe even, I know Chelsea, you know more about it. You can put money behind it. You can boost it. You know, things like that too. You got to be willing to spend a little money there to attract that talent. It can't just be a cliche, typical ad that every Indeed user has posted.
Well, and I think that, I mean, so obviously we're taking this towards when we search for doctors, which, you know, that's a harder person to find, to be honest. We're looking for some top tier talent with a doctorate that want to live in this area and run a press. So that's a tougher one. CAs is a different conversation, right? So when we're looking for people to run our offices, we can run just an ad and get 150 candidates. And then it's a matter of like, how do I handle and process all these? But I think either way, what you have to do, and this alludes to what you said, Dr. B, like everything you do say and put out there represents your company. It represents your brand. Even the job post. So if you're looking for somebody and all you list is like 40 hours a week, $15 an hour, blah, blah, blah. Like people are looking for careers. They want a place they feel valued. They want a place that they can join a team and really feel like it's something. Now, if they don't want that, if they do just want to punch a time clock, come in, come out, you know, that's not the person you're looking for. They should be like at a big company, man. They should be in a warehouse or, you know, work for Amazon or something where your voice is never heard, but you're also like, just can go in and know exactly what to expect. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so I think that you first have to realize, write an ad from the heart and make it super cool where people are like, oh shit, that sounds really interesting to me. Cause those are the people whose interest you want to pique. But I mean, I think so many people put shit out there and don't realize it represents their brand. And then they wonder why they don't draw talent for that. And that can be an issue just by itself.
Yeah. I think I want to add to that a little bit on the ad, like, description and things like you do, you want to get your culture across of what your company is and what would be enticing. I think the logistics, if you have the right candidate, the logistics don't really matter until the conversation, you know, gets further along. Like, what days a week will I work? Like, when someone starts asking me questions like that on the first call, I'm like, this probably isn't the right person. Or do I get sick days? I'm like, right. Yeah, we're going to talk, but probably not going to be the right person. Another really easy and cool thing to do is include, whether you're posting an ad on Facebook and boosting it out, is make a video. I think it's super cool. I include a bunch of our video links just from different company events that we have. And probably 50 to 70% of the time, people are like, I watched those videos. Your company looks so fun, looks so cool. And so I think having those, or at least sending those to them after the first call, so you can show what the culture's like, because you can talk about it all day, but videos, photos, all, anytime you have the opportunity to include those, even if it's a photo of your current staff and your logo, like those are always going to stand out more than just a word, you know, an ad with words on it. So always include any media that you can to show the culture and the fun that your company has.
Chelsea, I think one thing I've seen you do well in our ads, I guess, is painting a vision for the future too, especially for doctor candidates or a higher level position. Like, where's their future beyond just the position you have advertised? Yes, we need a doctor to come in and run a clinic. You're going to be the head person. But down the road, is there advancement on your training, on your skills that you're going to learn? Can you possibly be an owner someday? Can you possibly be a clinic director of multiple clinics? Or you really give them a carrot out there that says, listen, we're going to bring you in to start here, but here's where we see this going in the future if you're a guy or gal.
I think too, I mean, here's my daily sports analogy. Uh-oh. You knew it was coming. But so I think building back to what we spoke of when you first said things, I think it's important to build a culture. So if you're a company that's going to need a decent amount of people, like our company does, you have to build like, and I would say like a minor leagues, right? So, I mean, the best baseball franchises are built with their minor league teams, and they take young talent and they go from 1A to 2A and then 2A to 3A and then 3A up to maybe the major leagues. And then they can, you know, get a chance. So, but there's different ways to do it. You can either look out for like, I'm going to hire a top-notch talent and pay for it, right? This is, I'm going to bring LeBron James into LA and we're instantaneously going to change everything. And that works. There's nothing wrong with that. But to truly build a long-term dynasty of a company, you need to be cultivating talent. Build some sort of culture that does that. And Chelsea, you were talking about that. There's student clubs. There's, you know, there's people that we have in all areas of the country that are going to be looking for a job and going to be moving into the workforce soon. Chiropractic colleges are a hotbed for that. And so we work for these people. We can see what type of work ethic, what type of philosophy, what type of talent they're going to bring to the table. This would work in real estate. It's the same way. And in the hair business, it's the same way. You know, like, are you reaching out to the schools? Are you giving back to the schools? Are you speaking at the schools? There's different things you need to do that won't lead to instantaneous talent. But down the road, you're going to have people that know your brand. We have people in 100% that graduate and they've been working in offices for 2 years, man. They're trained and fully ready, and they are the best ones to jump into instant success. So I think cultivate a culture is important as well.
I've studied some of our competitors also, just for the reason I want to know what are they offering? What's out there for them? And I want to know what benefits do they have, salaries, hours, ongoing trainings. I always try to look, what am I competing against? And usually we're better. And biased, but we're usually better on it, but I got to at least know. So if you don't even know what some of your competitors' talent or employees are making, doing, then I think you're behind there about what you're even looking for.
Yeah, I think one of my most recent calls I've had or one of my most favorite recent calls I've had lately was with another chiropractic franchise, or a large chiropractic company. I talked with her, the director of acquisitions, and she had so many great tips and things I wasn't doing, but I had a ton of things she wasn't doing. So it was cool just to talk to them and find out what they're doing. And yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, like you said, I think if someone had us side by side, they would choose 100% for sure. But that's just my opinion.
I think it's great to reach out to other people. And so you should have some connections with other people that even though they're not with your company, mm-hmm. you're still working together. There's different areas. That was a great example of that conversation you had. You know, they're a big company looking for people in a different area. That's mm-hmm. great. And we could even help them and send some people that way.
Yep.
So it's important to have that type of culture as well. But, you know, I think that let's go past. So you're finding these people. And so whatever you did, Indeed, and by the way, try things. If it doesn't work, then move on to the next thing. Indeed may work fantastic. It may not. Then go to Glassdoor. If Glassdoor doesn't work, then do something different. Like, don't just keep doing the same thing with the same ad looking for people that doesn't work. Modify, adapt, evolve. That's business. But so let's fast forward to that and let's say, okay, boom, I did this. I have a culture. I have a great ad. I have a bunch of candidates, or I only have a few. I have 3 candidates, or I have 300 candidates. Like, what are we looking for now as we find, like, let's take the scenario of like, okay, we had 150 people apply to run this office, which is fairly typical for us when we reach out to a community. How do you even work through 150 people, Chelsea, without taking 2.5 weeks of your time to do so?
You're talking about a CA position, because that varies, of course. So, and honestly, Rebecca is great at this too, who is the head of our CA hiring and training.
But and my super hot smoking wife.
Yeah, and Brandon's wife. Brandon really wants sound effects.
I like sound effects. I've got to get a sound effects machine on this thing. So
okay, be quiet. So
we're talking about my hot wife. Go ahead.
We have, honestly, we'll go through and do a skim of the resume for the initial kind of review, and then we'll invite the large amount of people that we think could be qualified and could be, based on their previous experience, a good CA or office manager to a group interview. And then we'll just ask, sometimes we don't even ask questions related to the job as much, but just see their personality. How do they show up? Are they, whether it's a group interview in person or on Zoom? Are they dressed well? Are they on time? Because honestly, when you're on Zoom, it does matter if you're on time too. Like, it's an in-person thing, even though it's remote. Sometimes you get people and they get so nervous and stiff in their interview that it's like that won't work. Cause when they have a high pressure situation at work, they're just going to kind of freeze up. So.
And I'm going to tell you right now, stop and pause. Cause I want to hit a point that you said. Half of your candidates will be ruled out right about now. Mm-hmm. Like, they're either late, they're not paying attention, a ton don't show up for whatever reason, something came up. And so you already narrowed 150 down. Let's say you cut 30 because you're like, I would never hire that person. They don't fit mm-hmm. the job.
Well, even go back to the resume part. I want to go back before you. I like where you're going, but go back to the resume portion first. You had 150 resumes come in. I think you can cut that in half, if not even more, just based off of some of that. I don't learn a ton about a person on their resume, but if they didn't take much effort to make it look really nice, if they had spelling errors, there's a bunch of like red flags immediately, they're out. So then we get to where you're going, Jay, with now they're on the screen.
Did they show up? Are they ready for it? Are they looking like they want the position? There's little things they can do right then, just not even to wow you, but kind of to hit the bare ass minimum of, you have to show up and be paying attention.
And you'd be surprised too. Like, you'll invite 30 people and 7 will show up sometimes. The other day I did a group interview and I invited 26 and 24 showed up. And I was like, holy shit, how am I going to do this? Like, this normally you kind of bank on half or even less showing up to the interview. For a group interview, especially, people get really intimidated by that, which I love because I think it puts the competition all right up there together. And so they see.
Especially if you're hiring an accountant, not that important to blow you away with their charismatic
personality.
Smile.
Yeah.
But if we're hiring a CA who is the first and last impression of all patients in our offices, it's super important to be able to blow away a patient with like a great smile. So I think that is a great thing for us to see.
The Zoom meeting is interesting to me too. I pay a lot of attention to, like you said, on time, things like that. But how did they show up? Are they in a hoodie, sweatshirt, and they're sitting in their car? Which, Chelsea, you've literally had this happen. Are they? What's going on in their background? Even honestly, the background of their screen. Like, I pay attention to a lot of those little things. That doesn't tell me everything, but it does certainly tell me what's
going on. Are they a cat?
Are they a cat?
Do they have?
If you haven't seen that video, you guys got to look this up.
I'm hiring that person.
Oh my gosh. Sorry.
It's going viral, but there's an attorney who somehow hits his cat meme on his Zoom call, and he's filter. Yeah. And he's literally a cat on the screen. You got to go look it up anyway.
It's a court hearing though. That's what's so funny. He can't get away from it. Yeah. So how they show up, and then for certain positions, personality is huge. So, you know, we know that we have 100% systems that the CA will learn to follow. Most of the CAs in our company don't have any experience being a chiropractic assistant before. Right. I don't even care about that. I want to know if they can multitask, if they are outgoing, if they have attention to detail and don't get overwhelmed when they do have more than one task to complete, because I know those are the main things that a CA needs to have. Do they smile on the screen or are they super serious? When you ask like the really off topic questions, can you see their excitement and passion come through on things they're talking about that do excite them? Like, what are their hobbies? Or Brandon always likes to ask like what their favorite ice cream is or something.
I ask him some weird question that has nothing to do with work for that reason. I just want to see, do they smile? Do they get excited? Like, tell me what the best pizza toppings are. Something like that where they're like, what?
Yeah.
I know good people are like, oh God, well, it's, of course it's Canadian bacon and pineapple. And others are like, good God, no way. But that's what I want to see. Can they just carry on a normal conversation? So yeah, it's a dumb question, but
I think it's good for, especially for that position. Obviously you know, it's entry level on most of the time, but honestly, from the group interview, you can cut it down to your top five easy, like top five. Then when you get to that next interview, it's going to be usually more one-on-one and you're going to ask more of those specific questions relating to the job. So you do need to get to the serious logistic questions, but I think first off, finding someone that is going to fit within the team, fit the position that you're trying to fill, can they communicate, all of that. So
yeah, let's fast forward, because that's where I think I have some good expertise on this, is at that point when you're really trying to figure out if this is the right person. And so at this point, the biggest weakness I see in people that I don't want any part of our company are people that play the victim or people that make excuses, because they're not going to fit into our company. Like, I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to listen to them. We don't have time for it. So I think there's a couple of things, and these are questions you have to ask in some way, shape, or form. You tell them about your company and you give your little commercial, right? And then you got to shut your mouth, because this isn't you trying to sell yourself to them, right? To a certain extent it is, but you tell them who you are. Now let's hear who they are. Our obligation to sell our company to them comes on the offer letter. And when we write the offer letter, we're going to paint out how cool it's going to be and how amazing. And then it's going to be up to them to accept once we decide we want them. But a couple questions you can ask that are really important is, I always say, what would you say that your former boss would say is your biggest weakness? And they're going to have to go back to their other job and start to think, like, what would my boss say? And then the other thing I want to say is, what did you dislike most about your last job? Mm-hmm. And this question is where a lot of excuses will come out, a lot of blame. They did this, they did that, they did this, they fired me because of this. And if you start hearing that, that's a huge red flag. Now, if they're very like courteous and say, you know what, there's a lot of things I loved about that job, it's just time for me to take the next step. Extra credit if they're like, you're welcome to call my former boss. I don't think he would have a negative thing to say about me. In fact, he knows that you may be calling. That to me really shows that this person builds relationships and they're just advancing their career. But if you can start to dig into, are they an excuse maker? Is it everyone's else fault for what's going on? Or are they people that build rapport, build relationships, and they're ready to take that next step to your company? You've got to find out what that person represents and if they're going to come in and just be a pain in your ass and you're the next excuse that they're looking for of why they're not successful.
That's one of my favorite questions to ask too. I usually ask, what has been your least favorite job ever? And then why? And they usually, it's some of them will be like, well, retail, blah, blah, blah. And I learned a lot from it. And they'll talk about what they learned from it. And that to me is way better than them being like, I hated measuring women's bra sizes all day, you know, which I did hate that when
that sounds like a horrible job.
No, my least favorite job ever was working at Victoria's Secret. And honestly, I learned a lot from it, but it was like some labor laws were probably broken there for sure. Well, I was sitting in the back tagging and it was pretty crazy job.
I've never heard that story. When you're dealing with people, it's a talent. I love when people work in the restaurant because as a server, you've had to deal with every single person, sad, angry, hungry, happy, celebratory, like they've all come in and your income depends on making sure that person has a great experience. So, you know, as a server and Chelsea, I know you've served in bartender, but I mean, you have to know was two people having a business meeting when to lay the hell off and leave those people alone. Mm-hmm. And when people are starving, how to get them something and how to have 10 tables when you get sat three at a time. Like there's so many things of multitasking, but changing your skill set and adapting to the customer that you have, I'm telling you, that pays huge dividends. And if you can find someone that was a cocktail waitress, a server or a bartender, or even a restaurant manager, you are really heading the right direction for a lot of different positions you're probably trying to fill.
I honestly truly believe that every single person in their life, if they're ever going to go out to eat, should have to be in the service industry in some position.
Yep.
Because I'll be with friends who never have, and they're just like bitches to the server or the bartender. And I'm like, do you not see that they have like an entire section? Like the whole world doesn't revolve around you, you know, but yeah, it's crazy.
Okay. So let me pose this. So you make your selection and you feel like you got a good candidate. They got past your Zoom calls, your interview questions. You're like, sweet, this is our person or persons. You're bringing in a couple employees. One thing that I think we're really good at is what we call putting aces in places. So how do you start to figure out where to plug them into your system? Because you may have hired them for front desk, but there's a ton of front desk tasks that go on. So how do you know where to start to put them, utilize their skills, their talents, which you may not even know yet because you just hired them. So how do you start to figure that out and then put them in front of those people or those tasks?
I think this is two different calls waiting to happen on how do you train this person properly and how do you place them properly. I mean, you probably have in mind where you hired that person for. So you need someone for this position. That's what you originally were looking for. But yeah, aces in their places is a term that we use all the time. This person may come in and just blow you away. And you're thinking like, you know what, this person may be a better fit for here or here. So I've long been a proponent of you hire talent. If you don't need somebody, you hire talent. Someone comes in and says, you hiring? I sit down and interview them right then. And if they're amazing, I'm like, we are hiring actually. Because you always have the best person for the job. And people are always fighting to make sure that they're the best person. Because your business, your success, your vision, your dreams depend upon that person. So I think that, yes, be ready to place them different places, but be ready to hire talent and then find a spot for them. Mm-hmm. Because you'll be amazed that they may come and end up being great at financials. They may come in and be great at doing new patient exams in our world. You know, in another world, they may be great at answering the phone at a haircut place or being the person that is the realtor's assistant. Like you never know what this person's talent level is going to lead to. You always bring in talent. And I think you always start to look at their skill set and look at different ways that you can move them to one, keep them entertained, two, to reap the benefits of all the talents that they have. And I think that you have to always have your ears and mind open for that.
Go ahead, Dr. B.
It's important to identify that though quickly. And like you said, we could do a whole another show on that, but knowing you may have brought them in for that front desk position, but then find out, gosh, they're way better at the back end stuff. And so understanding that, learning that quickly, and then letting them know, like, gosh, we just see you thrive on this. Let's really shift your focus in this office, in this business to this task, even though you might have hired them for something you thought completely different.
Yeah, I was going to go all the way back to like how you find them. And I think a lot of people think they have to take a formal approach to finding and recruiting people too. But pay attention when you're out and about too, like, you know, baristas, waitresses, like we were saying, like maybe they don't want to be there forever, even if they love their job. Maybe they're looking for a career switch. And
Victoria's Secret bra measurers. Maybe they're your person. I don't know.
Unreal. Yeah, without a doubt, that was actually going to be my take-home point. So I'm frantically trying to think of what, but I mean, you always hire talent. And like you said, like there's so many times we had conversations with people that are servers and things of like, you would be an amazing person running an office. You know that. And a lot of times those people are like, really? I mean, they're flattered. If you want to find a great employee, look for someone that's gainfully employed. Because they're workers, they're hustlers. They're already out there making it happen. And those are great things to do. So I think that's a really important thing to do. The other thing back on ACEs and their places, and I know we can't go into training on this show as we're wrapping up, but you know, the other thing that people do is they don't have a training program. They hire this person, they throw them to the wolves, and they try to make them learn everything. Like, and because they don't have a system, and realize that we've all been that first day at a job. It's the most awkward thing in your life. You don't know where to stand. You don't know who's rude, what to say. The phone's ringing, but you don't know if you're allowed to answer it. Like, you don't even know where the bathroom is in this place, right? Mm-hmm. And then when someone just throws you at the front desk and just like lets you do things, and then worse yet, you screw up, and then they're like, what the hell? We don't do that. That's where you're never going to keep somebody. And so when you see people churning and burning through employees nonstop, it's a mill for people because they hire, and they may even pay well, and it may even be a cool job. But they treat people like shit. They put them in a bad position. They have no training set up. And those, no one wants to do that. There's no price you can pay someone to get treated like shit their whole life and not feel comfortable. So put ACEs in their places, but have a very detailed system of what they're going to learn day one, day two, day three. You don't know what their strengths are till at least like month three. And so you'll start to slowly learn as you see them do great at the position you hired them for.
Yeah, I think it's easy. After some time to see someone's strengths by what excites them. What do they love to do? Not just like the easy part of it, but like what things do you really see them, you know, get excited about doing?
Yep.
For me, it was not numbers, but.
Well, for a lot of people, I mean, there's survey after survey of what makes you choose or love your job or dislike your job. And not that many people say it's pay. I think that usually ends up being like a quarter of it, but it's like feeling valued. It's having a voice. It's being respected. It's liking my coworkers. It's having fun. We go to work 30 to 60 hours a week of our life. And you don't want to dread that. If you do, it's a matter of time till you're done. Like, we love coming to work because we love this team. I hire here for as much as who's going to fit into this culture and never wreck this amazing family that we've built as much as I hire for talent coming in. And that's really important to look at is if you have a great thing going, don't bring in a Debbie Downer, right? That's going to suck the energy. Thank you, sound effect. And don't screw that up because, you know, someone has a degree or someone has good job experience. I can teach someone to do things. In fact, often I prefer people that have no experience so I don't have to unteach them things from other places just to reteach them how we do it. So, there's so much to this topic and it's the future of your business depends upon it. So listen to it again, and then hear it again because you've got to bring talent in. You've got to cut dead weight loose and you've got to train that talent to make sure they're bought into your vision at a level that's going to let you grow like you want to. So, let's have some closing thoughts.
Here's mine. I can't remember, when we talked about this, but I really started to take this home a long time ago that this is an asset in your company. An employee is an asset. And we oftentimes look at it as a liability or an expense on the report, payroll and different things, but it's probably your most important asset of the whole entire business is bringing in talent, like you said, Jay, to really work. So if you look at that as an asset, as something that's going to continue to make you money, or like last week's show, who's possibly losing you money? I think it takes your business a long way.
You just steal my line. Employees are an asset, not a liability.
I just wrote it down over here.
Okay, you son of a bitch. All right.
Be an asset, Dr. Brandon. Be an asset, not an ass.
An ass or an asset?
No, be an asset. Don't be an ass and steal the lines. Jeez.
Come on now. There's some telepathy sometimes here. I don't know. I wrote it down right here. I can't see your journal.
I saw you write it down last second after you looked at my journal. Chelsea.
Okay. Mine is, I think, same as with firing, go with your gut. Like, you're going to have a good feeling about some people and maybe another person outqualifies them, but go with your gut on hiring and firing.
Yeah, I love that. I think that you have to listen to your gut for sure. I would say one more question I think is good to ask people is, you let them know a little bit about what you're doing, even let them know a little bit about where you're going and what you want to accomplish. And then let them know this simple question: what do you think you bring to the table? Like, what would you offer us? And then they can start to say, well, my skill sets are blank and I think we can do this. And man, you're not doing this. And I think that'd be an amazing idea. If they come full of great ideas and excitement right away with what your vision is, that's amazing. If they answer things like, I have no idea, I don't know your job, I have no idea, I don't really know what you do, that's not your person. So quickly reverse and find somebody else, because you want someone that's like sane answers that they're going to bring to the table. And at the very minimum, I love your vision. I don't know for sure what I would bring, but I have some ideas. I just need to, you know, get those all cleared in my head and then I can let you know. But
yeah, I think that lets people, like, that lets you know for sure if they've already pictured themselves in the position and envisioned like what they would be doing and what they would bring. So
yep. And my final thought, if I'm allowed to have two, but
oh my gosh,
is I love people that follow up after to separate themselves from the pack. Mm-hmm. So after that Zoom, even an email, a phone call, a text of just being like, I fucking love your company and I picture myself there. Some of the greatest people that I've partnered with and hired have had that phone call to me after. That's, and it may have been like, yeah, there's four people that are great. And then bling, my text comes on and some guy saying like, holy shit, man, I've got to be part of your company. It's incredible. I see myself there. I want to make that impact. Please consider me. That's going to separate people. And you never know when, you know, if you're the applicant, you know, they're looking at four people and you're one of them. How do you separate yourself from that? Do something other people aren't going to do, because that's going to be a great commodity when you're an employee as well. So anyway, you've let people go. You've hired some talent now. Maybe next call we can go into some training. We have some cool guests. Sure. We're going to bring in the Dr. Vanessa here real soon, and she's going to drop some knowledge on just being a female entrepreneur, doctor, mom, badass, and creating a company. I think that's going to be great. And man, we have so many cool things planned. You notice we're really going to start to pay some attention. We have so many people that are coming on to the EJ. We're going to start chatting more a little bit on the Facebook page and having some conversations with all these entrepreneurs and start swapping ideas a bit. So please, if you're not, like us on Facebook and feel free to drop some questions, drop some topic ideas, drop some challenges, whatever you want to do. Let's start some dialogue, because as entrepreneurs, we can all work together to build badass businesses. And I think that's what it's all about. So appreciate your time and can't wait till next week already. Talk to you soon.
Bye.